Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight, I'll tell you that. This is Dr. John, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Well, we got a hot topic tonight, an excited panel.
I got my glow stick.
Do what?
Oh, wait a minute, that's not a glow stick.
Every time people doing little things.
Not a glow stick, I thought it was.
I'm gonna be the king of the glow sticks this weekend, buddy. Don't you worry about that. Anyway,
I'm afraid to ask. Jesus.
No, I'm just going to Georgia, so I'm gonna take me some glow sticks. So anyway, it's good to have everybody here. It's an exciting time. This news has been berserk this week. I mean, I don't think you could script it.
Okay, I'm good.
And it's not scripted. Okay, that's great. So anyway, let's do the roll call here. Papa Stro, how are you doing tonight?
I'm still stunned over your glow stick comment. I don't even know where you're gonna be doing those glow sticks in Georgia.
Okay, I'm going to be going down to the bottom of Tallulah Falls Gorge at sundown looking for Bigfoot. How's that?
Good luck.
Well, we'll see what we got. I hear it's beautiful
foot?
Down there.
Are you Bigfoot? Is that what this is? You're coming out now?
No.
Damn.
And folks,
you've never found him because you're him.
That would explain everything.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Boys and girls, I had a 2-hour talk last night with someone who has a pack of Bigfoot living near their house, has seen the portal open and close, and it was the most amazing 2-hour conversation I ever had.
You sure you weren't dead? You sure you were having a dream about the $6 Million Man episode with Bigfoot?
Nope.
And the Bionic
Woman.
But John,
that portal's been closed for 40 years.
Yes.
It's open, honey. It's open now. Down in Orangeburg, South Carolina. I mean, no, it was great. I enjoyed it very much. And we will announce the results of that here soon on some show, maybe all the shows. It was great. It was a great conversation.
Wait, what was Bigfoot expecting results? Expecting to have the baby or
what's Bigfoot of that day?
Have a baby Bigfoot.
That's a whole different portal.
It was really good. It was really good. Yeah, and they talked about the.
Bigfoot diapers, but I feel like well, like that.
He's got to have dingle bumps every time he takes a dump because he's covered in hair.
Well,
I bet he'd be like a Brillo pad coming out the birth chute, man.
Oh wow,
yummy!
Bless his mother's heart.
Well, I tell you what, my kids look like little Ewoks when they were born, so I'm just saying.
Well,
so you're big.
I met the Ewok in diapers saying "Nacho."
All right. All right, back to the roll call. Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I am doing fantastic. Let me go ahead and apologize in advance for my for my inability tonight to perform at a professional level. This afternoon, I've officially become a retired individual. And I am now the guy, the man, the CEO, president, viceroy, governor, potentate, if you will, of my own business. And I could not be happier. So pardon me for imbibing a few adult beverages and burning a cigar tonight. But by Christ, I am celebrating my success and my future success. There it goes, slurring. And I'm telling you.
Did our guy come along with you?
Yes, he did. He did come along, Todd, and God bless you for asking, brother. I'm here to tell you. you got two guys that could not be happier and more determined to show everybody up, if you will. Again, there's a little dusty. If you will, brother, go ahead. Stro, where you at? Help me with that.
Oh,
you need to go easy on the beverage.
If you will, baby,
be...
business is about to pick up, Daddy.
That's it. Because it's in the
world. You
know
what? I'm going to say cheers.
Hey, and thank you much. Because, like I said, Todd, the two guys that we speak of course, you know them well, and you know that it's been a long road plowed. And, man, I'm here to tell you. So sue me for celebrating. I'm on top of the world right now, no longer bottom of the list. And I might not ever miss another Comic-Con / Pop Culture Stars.
Well,
again.
Good.
Ooh.
Don't.
So brace yourself for impact, folks.
Brace yourself for impact. You got it.
Whiskey bent,
right, glad
baby. Whiskey bent. Whiskey bent, baby.
I got to learn how
do
to do
go
that,
easy on
so,
your
man.
Drinks, though. Because if you get too slurry, you know, it has been said that alcohol can cause some bad performances. So you might want to slow down on that right now.
Yeah,
or
no one it might
ask
cause
me, Dave,
a little
why
which I'm
do
for.
You drink? Why do you go?
Why do you love smoke?
I think we
well,
derailed.
I told y'all what my parents told me when I started dating. They said, if you drink, drive, don't park. Accidents cause people.
Truth.
Good one, Todd. That was funny. That was funny. Speaking of Todd, I guess you're doing okay tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I am outstanding. The supernatural ecstatic. That man, I've been keeping it under the hat as promised. I haven't even given a glimmer to Kevin. I just sent him a text of congrats. We'll see if he knows what I'm talking about when he reads it. The I am wound up for our brother Dave Atwell. I know this
man,
has been in the works for a while.
And I'm gonna tell you, and Kevin, though he's never been on the show, you know Kevin as well as I do. You're not gonna find a classier, more genuine, hardworking, down to earth kind of guy than him. And it's a privilege for me to be able to do business with him, and it's a privilege of me to be able to call him a brother and perhaps landscape the next 5 to 10 years worth of success for ourselves. And by God, I'm the luckiest man on the planet right now.
Let me tell you, well, we worked with his son.
Absolutely.
That was just little things working with his son. His son's a captain in the Marine Corps right now. For those of you that don't know, it's one of those little things. Kevin's pretty much family. I hate bringing this up because I know Liz is going to take this into a deep, dark corner. Some of you know I will make worst from time to time. And let me go ahead and put it in a phrase that just kind of pulls the rug out from under Liz. He's a fan of my sausage.
I'm ready to go. Here we go.
But no, he's the kind of guy, if any of you have ever made something like that, taking the time to do it, you know, it's something you don't share lightly and stuff like that. And Kevin is one of those ones because Josh was home as well as, and I believe he shared it with, oh, damn, I'm drawing a blank on her name. From Produce. Our girl with the son that's in the service, too.
Nice. Son, Garrett.
They were there, so I went ahead. I had made bangers. Go ahead. That's only going to make it worse, being the type of sausage I know, Liz.
I'm not saying a word.
The sausage make a baby.
And I had made it for St. Patty's Day so they could have bangers
and mash. The sausage make a baby.
Hey, incidentally, Garrett, her son, just was the one – and I want to say there was like 200 guys in the class, and he was one of four of the 200 who passed the class, and he will now be stationed at New River Air Station and will be flying the Ospreys over my house during the show at night. So big. Oh, man, and I mean, I couldn't be prouder of the young man. Got some good pictures from him doing his, I don't want to call it graduation, but the induction, if you will, ceremony. And I'm telling you, you see that young man, and the only thing of it is I remember him being some grab-assed kid walking around in flip-flops and shorts, and now there he is flying Ospreys. Squared away in uniform, and God bless that young man. He has done it. So I'm telling you, you can get loaded on the success that's going on, and by God, right now is a good time to be me because success is around me, and it's addicting, man. Good times are ahead, and if you need any motivation out there to do anything, I don't care what you're doing. You know, if you're doing like Stro and chasing your dream of being a wrestler or whatnot, you know, it's funny how success, if you're serious about it, success can be addicting just like anything on the planet. So if you're going to get yourself hooked on something, let it be something good. So to Garrett, to Kevin, hell, to everybody here on the show that we've all had our successes, let's keep kicking ass, man. I mean, pardon me for being a cheerleader. Somebody cue up the music behind me. But it sure is good to have good news. It does. And I mean, it makes so much better sense than talking about bad things, you know?
That is true. You got that one right, Dave. You do. Well, Dave, we're glad you're having a good day, good week, good month, good year, and onward and forward to the show. And Liz Brackett driving on the road to North Carolina. Is that correct?
I am. I am. Actually, hopefully she's not listening to the show tonight because I told her that I was coming home from Pennsylvania tomorrow at 11, but I am surprising my wife tonight instead because I decided to come home.
That was good.
I had
to
work. Yeah. Well, you got to keep wifey happy.
No, well done.
Hey, look, all I know is I'm proud that you're not sharing your meat so with just anybody. I needed to say that. I need to get that off my chest. I was really holding that in, but I could not. Now.
Wait a minute. Those weren't innuendos, were they?
Do what?
Those weren't innuendos, were they? Get off my chest, holding it in.
Oh, I don't think that was an innuendo at all. I would never say anything like that. What kind of girl do you take me for?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I've been in Pennsylvania for the past couple of days working, and so now I'm on my way back to North Carolina. So
will you be safe?
You guys get to
be
hang out with me for a little bit?
Yeah,
heck that would add to the end of my day too, because like I was getting to the point where I was like, you know, if I don't find some really like heart pounding music or something to kind of keep me going, I might get sleepy. But then you guys just happen to be in my life, so this is perfect. I don't have to worry about going to bed while I'm driving because you guys are going to keep me up and laughing.
The you already know, and I told you in the pregame text, if you will, it's all about safety first, by all means.
Absolutely, that's
the most important thing. We'd rather let you duck out for a bit tonight to have you be here on the show.
That being said, I'm not really sure what the network service situation holds because I'm coming through the mountains. So if I lose you, I'll try to call in when I get a moment. If I don't, I'll catch you on the next one.
All right.
Funny story, though. With Liz speaking what she was doing to come surprise her wife and everything, a couple of years ago I was training in Virginia Beach, and I had told Dale, I had told her, I says, look, you know, I'll be home late Friday night, blah, blah, blah. And so what I did is throughout the whole week during the time out there in Virginia Beach, I was getting it done. I mean, I was throwing down. And I left Virginia Beach Thursday night instead of Friday. And then the whole way back, and if you've ever driven from Virginia Beach to Jacksonville, it takes you 3 hours to get from Jacksonville to Virginia Beach, but it takes you 6.5 hours to get from Virginia Beach to Jacksonville just because of the 264 and everything. But the whole way back, I'm thinking about this Kodak movement when I walk in the door and I'm like, surprise, I'm home, honey. So I come in the door Thursday.
I might have one to top you, and I'm not trying to be like the Mr. One Upper guy, but like, I went to Utah for 3 months. I was gone for 3 months. Now, on my flight to Utah, because I was working on the show, right? So on my flight to Utah, I made my wife the primary information email receiver, text receiver, when my flight takes off, when my flight lands, because I was taking an American Airlines flight. So if anything happened with my flight, she would get a text message and be alerted, right? So I'm getting ready to come home. I tell her that they've extended the show by 3 days. I'm telling her, like, I'm going to do all this stuff, and you know, don't worry. I'm not going to be able to get to come home early. I'm sorry. I was excited about it, but I can't, right? But I go ahead and schedule my flight 3 days early, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. So I finally take her off of my American Airlines alert system. I change my, like, find my iPhone password just in case, you know, I don't want her to track me. And then she's like, wait a minute, what are you doing in Colorado if you're supposed to be in Utah as I'm flying over Colorado? So I'm like, okay, cool. This is, like, the best.
No,
I call my, I call, yeah, I call my mom. Airport.
That sucks.
So my dog, right?
Hey, like, we lost the last 45 seconds.
Oh, no. Okay, so airport,
you
right?
You called your mom.
Yeah, so that my wife wouldn't pick me up from the airport, I would come home and surprise her. But my mom was like, how am I going to get to your house without her, you know, being suspicious? And I was like, well, my dog. She wanted to go pick my dog up. And I was like, that's perfect because she would rather see my dog than me anyway. So it would make sense that she would go to my house and pick up my dog and spend a couple of days with her. And take her back. So my mom goes and gets my dog, right, so that we can set up this grand surprise, right? Turns out, even though, against my best efforts, my sister-in-law found out that I was coming home early, and she ruined it. She ruined the entire surprise. I get off the airplane. I ended up staying so I could catch the earlier flight. I ended up going to the airport at 9 p.m. and catching a 6 a.m. flight so that I didn't have to stay in a hotel, just so I could just be at the airport to get on early. And then I get home. My mom picks me up. She takes me to the door, and my wife goes, hey, where is she? To my mom. She's like, she who? Because nobody was supposed to know I was there. And then Sarah, my sister-in-law, had already told her. I was like, are you kidding me? I'd been gone for 3 months. I had made the perfect surprise, and she knew I was going to be there, so she was looking for me instead of waiting for the surprise. Oh, it made me so mad.
The best laid plans.
She didn't even play along. That's brutal.
Absolutely.
Oh.
That's epic.
So I was like, I'm going to do this tonight. Hopefully, if she's listening to the show, then I guess I'm screwed. I got a big mouth, so it's not like she's not going to know I'm coming home now. But as far as I know, she knows that I'm in my hotel in Pittsburgh, and I'm talking on my podcast.
Well, good.
You know that you know that I know.
So you're gonna go text my wife now. Okay, great, Todd. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that.
Todd,
I'm just telling her to clean up the house.
Yeah, you're going to get a surprise, right?
Lord, I told her to get to put the shower curtains on the bed and get the baby oil.
What we call that is a slip and slide.
Okay.
So we've derailed again.
Liz doesn't even blink. I love it. Okay, so they had I gotta pull this out. Y'all know my mind goes to the gutter. They were talking about in our yeah, imagine that. So we had the government building rules re-explained to us in a group email. Actually, there were a couple things that came out this last week. A group email was the other one that was kind of funny. But so somebody had what they thought was a small pocket knife and fell out of their pocket when they were going to the can. They missed it. And, oh, boy, it was all of 3 inches. It broke all the rules. So while they were going through, we had a big all-hands meeting. Everybody's there. They're going through the whole deal. And they're like, yeah, anything over 2 1/4 inches is a lethal weapon. And me being me, I have all these things running through my head. I'm like, yeah, I'm 1/4 inch past lethal weapon. And then, of course, I had the thought of, damn, I'm 1/4 inch short. And then, of course, the next thing I thought was, does a tongue count?
The answer is,
you know, all this stuff was in my head. But, you know, and y'all know how I am. So here we are in the giant group thing in the war memorial in downtown Indianapolis. And it was everything I could do to keep my mouth shut. It was just brutal because the guy behind me, I knew he's a clown. But I had a youngin next to me that I was like, he would lose his friggin' mind. Oh, man, that was brutal. All right. So last week I hear this joke. I just got to throw this out. Y'all know how timing is everything. I hear this joke. So, and it's a straight up dad joke. You know, I'm a big fan of that crap. So I go by one of my stakeholders on my way into one of the myriad of meetings we had last week. I'm like, hey, dude, what kind of pot do mermaids smoke? Seaweed. And he knew it was going to be a dad joke coming from me. I did not make it 10 steps, and he's like, Pat, come here. I'm like, what? At that moment, as I was telling him the joke, he was reading a group email that I had posted, and it was all the rules about buying stock in the legal marijuana companies. And so it was all about timing. And I was it was just funny. Those two things crossed. These are the rules for buying stock in legal marijuana companies that somebody's telling you a pot joke.
Nice.
Okay. Well, that's
you
cool.
You can't make this stuff up. That just, you know, it was twice as funny for him because of the timing. I was like, damn, he's laughing a little too hard for that joke. And I was like, I get it now. All right. Look, we've gone through introductions. And, oh, by the way, we're pushing 25 minutes of tangents. We are killing it tonight.
Oh, well, yeah. Wait till we get to our topic. As I have been reminded, this is Dr. John TMZ here tonight. Yeah, what I wanted to talk about was yesterday, it seems like it was a week ago, we find out about the college admission scandal. And we got two actresses. I'm sorry, maybe they're actors, but I think they're actresses. And they're in a lot of hot water. A number of people are in hot water. Great universities are under the gun because they have apparently let students in that shouldn't have gone in there. And there was a big payola scandal about this. People getting paid to do this. Now, I just think it's nuts. I was very disappointed to see, and I'm not going to say where I graduated from college as an undergraduate. Saw my college on that list, and I was very unhappy because I didn't think that I paid for a scandal. I really didn't. I expected it a little bit better. So today, I get this email from the president of said university, and I'm just going to keep calling it the university. If you know where I graduated, then you know. If you don't, you don't. But here's the letter I got, and it just floored me. I mean, as my attorney said, he went there too. He said, you know, whoever is doing PR for these folks needs to be fired. And I agree. So here's what we got. And I want my friends here at Comic-Con, at Pop Culture Stars, Habits Die Hard. Tell me what you think. Okay, first of all, this is the introduction. Following yesterday's news coverage of a national scandal involving college admissions, I have received several emails expressing shock, disappointment, and anger that our former university coach was named in a federal indictment by the U.S. Department of Justice. The indictment alleges this coach accepted financial payments to influence the admission of a student that had previously been placed on the wait list. Whoa. All right. And I am, now, first of all, I have received a few emails. I doubt that. Probably more like hundreds. I'm writing today to address some of the most frequently asked questions I have received and to make abundantly clear that, now here it is, our university is considered by the Department of Justice to be a victim of this fraud. In no way it been suggested that the university was involved in the deceitful practices, nor were any employees other than this one coach accused of wrongdoing. I'm coming back to that one. That one made me almost swallow my tongue. So anyway, here are the points. Number one, how are we supposed to make sense of this whole situation? The Department of Justice considers our university and the other institutions named to be the victims of fraud. Now, fraud comes in many different ways, folks. I want to stop here. I want to explain something, because as a guy who's been a professor for 20 years, I understand how this business works over there in the athletic department. There's something called the NCAA. They've got more forms than the IRS does. They really do. They know exactly what is going on with every single athlete in the athletic department. When those athletes come in, they get assigned an advisor. They get told when to go to tutoring. They get told how to do everything. They even get taught how to be an NCAA athlete. They make them take a little short course on what to do and what not to do. So now, how can some coach sneak somebody into a program with all of this, you know, with all of this overhead, with all of these forms, with all of this inspection, with sticking the athletes in general in a different place to live all by themselves? You either put them with everybody and then they know something's wrong, because this is a young lady that, you know, they know that she's not participating, or they stick her somewhere else and everybody else knows that she's not participating because she should have already gone through all of the orientation for an athlete. But apparently she didn't. Apparently someone just stuck her in and she just walked right through the whole line and went to the other side of campus. Now, how on earth can you get through all of the regulations? How can the University of Southern California, how can Stanford University, that's not this university, how can they let everybody go through the motions and not take care of their athletes? I mean, I don't see how these institutions are a victim. I think they're absolutely responsible for letting it happen. I'm sorry, that may be a real tough stance. What do you guys think?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You know, I made a quick list of notes.
Go, Dave. Here we go. And thanks for the segue there, Stro. Well said. Oh, my God. You're exactly right.
I'm just biting my tongue. Go ahead.
You're probably going to say the same thing I am, is the fact that you don't get that far. And a lot of the people that are involved in this are the squeaky clean folks in Hollywood and whatnot. I got to be honest with you. As I've said before,
that's
you don't
hilarious.
Make it that far out. You don't make it that far out without putting a few knives and a few backs. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, when it comes down to, especially when it comes down to collegiate athletic programs, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
And Stroh, you could attest for it. You went to school with me. There were some guys that were some phenomenal athletes we went to school with that were absolute rocks. And not only were they rocks, but they screwed off in school, but they could run or they could play. And somehow or another, they found their way through, and their grades somehow or another met the standard. The bottom line is, you turn on college football on Saturday, okay, and I dare you, I double dog dare you to count all the asses in the seats. Well, they didn't get in that stadium for free. Every ass that you count probably paid $100. So you figure if there's 50,000 people in that stadium, that's how much. Somebody help me out with the zeros here. Is that $5 million?
Something like that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
just in gate money. And again, gentlemen and ladies, we run cons. We know what gate means. The bottom line is that's a lot of butt, and that's a lot of money being spent. So you know what? So you bend a few rules to get a few butts in and a few seats. Guess what? Hey, it happens. And you know, it's called business. I get it. But the bottom line is, the thing is that you cannot, and that's the thing about Al Capone, and I'll give him credit for, is that Al Capone come right on out and said, hey, I'm a bad guy. I'm running beer. I'm running whiskey. There's prohibition. I'm breaking the rules. I'm the man. Okay. What you can't do is have both sides of it. Either you're breaking the rules and you're owning it, or you're breaking the rules and you're not owning it. And if you're not owning it, then these kind of things happen to you. So, you know, what goes, goes. But I can tell you, these guys right here, this happens everywhere. And this doesn't happen at a collegiate level. This happens at the workplace. This happens at a corporate level. And God knows, don't even get me started on the thing of money. If you got money, you can get yourself out of anything. O.J. Simpson's proved it. Michael Jackson proved it. Paris Hilton's proved it. If you got money, you can get yourself out of anything you want, except for Jared from Subway, who is actually pulling time for touching kids or watching kids touch kids. He apparently didn't have enough money on him. But bottom line, if you got the money, you can make it happen. So, yeah,
let's not kid ourselves, man. I mean, this stuff's been going on for years. I mean, years.
Exactly.
I mean,
yep.
And now because the high volume of money involved, some people just caught with their hands in the cookie jar. That's all.
And don't
it
get
is.
All self-conscious about it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just been going on for a long time. Even before we were going
there,
it was like for decades and decades, and I mean, how many times we've seen bribes and payoffs just so their favorites can get ahead in the system? I mean, this doesn't happen in just universities. It happens in the workplace. That happens in life. And it's funny because they call wrestling a work, but I mean, life's even bigger work than the wrestling business is. I mean, you have your favorites. You have the people that do underhanded things under the table to get ahead. I mean, it's no different with this situation. It's just this time around, a lot of money was involved, and some people were caught.
Yeah, you're right.
It really comes down to people were caught. Papa Stroh, you're absolutely right. This is nothing stinking new. And I had to laugh. The first note I wrote down was college athletics and weekly.
Yes.
That was my very first
note.
Not
to mention the names. Now, if you find out that the Kardashians are involved, you know there are a bunch of dirtbags anyway, so you let it roll off your back. But when you start seeing names that are the quote-unquote squeaky clean, you know, on TV preaching the righteous and whatnot, you see their name come on, shoot, you can't help but dive in on that and go, yep, oh, how the mighty have fallen, you know?
It's the same old story. It is. It's the same old deal.
Yep.
It just stinks. And for like the Dr. John was speaking of earlier, it stinks for the alumni who's got to sit there and hold on to the black eye, even though it doesn't reflect on them. It reflects on their alma mater. And for those who have worked hard and paid off college debt and blah, 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 because God knows you don't want to be that guy that's had to work 100 years to get up and over college debt and hear something like this. You know, you don't want to be that guy.
Oh, those ones that had the college debt forgiven don't care.
Apparently not.
Well, who gets it forgiven?
Oh, then you miss a lot of stuff going on. You need to go back about the last 8 months or so anyways in the media or in the, you know, and read it. Our one of the lawyers that we used to help handle stuff for mom, he's 64 years old. His stuff's like 3 decades and change paid off, and he got a letter telling him his debt was forgiven.
Well, I need to get one of those.
Yeah.
Sure. Todd, I'll call you after the show. That's ridiculous. I'll call you right after the show. Don't worry about that. Because I'm still here struggling to make those payments, that, you know, and that doctorate was pretty expensive. But, you know, I guess the things that are irritating here are the lack of responsibility of this university, saying that the Department of Justice says we're a victim. Well, no, you're not. You're the ones that let it happen. You're the ones that run.
Right.
I mean, you're the ones that run that asylum. I mean, do we have inmates running the asylum? It sounds like it. I mean, anybody ought to be able to figure that one out. I've been in the colleges, and I've worked there for 20 years, and I know that. I mean, it's a fact, and writing some kind of letter like this. When I told this to my buddies that graduated from this university, they were stunned. They could not believe it. And that just sounds like, you know, just typical old junk. I mean, all you have to do is get out there and blame somebody else and you're okay.
It's the alpha betas all over again. That's what it is.
Yeah, kiss that, nerd.
No, this is crazy because this is this comes right into my wheelhouse, into very much what I'm doing for a living at this time. I work with audit and compliance. I deal with the independent public auditors and trying to do the things. And our level of compliance would boggle people's minds. It's funny, we thought annual inventory was a big deal at Sam's. That's so freaking funny.
Yeah, nothing.
The stuff we're going into and the details and stuff, and you know, and that's good to go because Dave knows I like to get focused on certain little things, and now I got like many hundreds of things to be focused on. It's just freaking insane because they clearly, the word oversight is inapplicable to what's going on here. I love how they said, oh, this is the only one. It's the only one, not the only one known, not the continuing investigation. Oh, sure, they mentioned that we're going to do a little bit of self-evaluation, but I guarantee they are not complying with the NIST regulations and stuff like that. It's so in my wheelhouse, and I already knew when I first saw this stuff pop up that when the IPA comes up back up here in another week and a half, or just over a week, I guess, I'm going to be like, guys, what do you think? And, I got all the auditors calling up various orifices of my own, and I just know that they're clean enough that I'll be able to ask them, like, what do you guys think about this stuff? How would you approach this? It ought to be fun. I would love to think what those IPA cats see it, because there's times I know they're overreaching on us, and I just want to see what they would be doing to something this thinking crooked. But here's a thought that came into mind on this stuff. All right, so this student that got passed through, now we'll never mind that they say only one person managed to sway the whole athletic department, the whole admissions team. One person swayed them all. That's it. One person swayed them all. Call the personality. I'm going to start playing
Don't forget the registrar's office. Don't forget the registrar's office. That's a whole sea of people, too. So, I mean, there you go.
I got that Living Color song playing in my head. Call the personality. Clearly swayed them all. Just one person did that. Now, they said, oh, yeah, because the student didn't know about the improprieties we're keeping them. They never said that we evaluated the student's grades versus all the others on the wait list. And the whole trickle-down effect. I don't hear anybody talking about those that were waiting to get in legitimately.
There you go.
And have been grabbed.
There you go.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the last comment I've got to make is, what's going to happen to the student mentioned in the indictment who had been waitlisted? The student was admitted and is currently enrolled. We have no reason to believe the student was aware of the alleged financial transaction. Sure. Student did not know that they were faked in as an athlete. Now, that does not make any sense. And this is a complete cloaking job of what happened. So, I mean, it just, I don't like the lack of responsibility an upstanding university fails to take. I mean, if we did anything wrong, we'd have to admit it. But here, they don't have to admit it. They just want to write a little letter and forget it. And I know they're going to get barbecued tomorrow. I mean, I'm not going to be sending in my response. I decided we'd talk about it tonight. But it is really ridiculous. I mean, Papa Stroh, I'm pretty correct that you were a college athlete, correct?
Iowa State. Pembroke,
that's
Iowa
right.
State.
And they were on top of you guys like mad, weren't they? They knew who you were.
Oh, yeah.
They knew who you were. They had study hours. They did all kinds of stuff to make sure that you did the right things, to make sure that the program didn't fail. So we've got a former professor here. We got a former athlete that has been through it. And we know that this is not any kind of responsibility. This is just, I mean, this sounds like some politicians that just want to say something bad because it makes them get a higher paycheck when they go talk to groups. That's all they're doing, and all they're doing.
Not to mention how many people that were turned down for colleges just for other people that were quote unquote chosen.
Yeah.
Again, the whole trickle down effect.
Yeah. But if you think it's the only college that's doing it, you're a boob. I mean,
exactly.
all of them are doing it, man. And it goes back to what I said a million times, and I always use the same term, pardon my French, asses in the seats. if you are able, and here I go, you get ready for me to open that can of worms in the state of North Carolina. Michael Jordan, and I know I'll pay the price for saying this, when he was in college, okay, he come up out of Laney High School, he went to Carolina, all right, when he was coming up, all right, the guys that were leading the NBA, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, they were all getting long in the tooth, and they were all slowing down. And the NBA was not exciting. The NBA was pretty damn drab, okay? And here comes Michael Jordan. Now, if you recall at the same time, there was a young man from Maryland University by the name of Lenny Bias, okay?
Yep.
Lenny Bias had the talent of a Michael Jordan, and he also had size, okay? So he was a different kind of athlete at the time, like LeBron is now, has athleticism, has the size and everything else. Well, when Lenny Bias, unfortunately, passed away from doing coke for all, you know, can't mask that. Here's a guy who is the number one draft pick by the Boston Celtics, a storied organization. All right. The Celtics are the Yankees of the NBA. No denying it. All right. He was drafted number one draft pick over Michael Jordan now. All right. Now, he did some blow, couldn't make it. He died. One of them things, very unfortunate what happened, okay? Michael Jordan comes into the league, all right? What's otherwise a drab league, because, again, the Kareems, the Magics, the Irvings, the Birds, they're all fading away. And I say fading away, I shouldn't use that, because they're phenomenal athletes. They were
long in the tooth.
To the end of their – yeah, they were reaching the end of their career, okay? So here comes Michael Jordan, all right? Guy, if you were to put him in 1960s basketball, he would have never made it. Why? Because of the double dribbling, the walking, whole nine yards. But he was an exciting ball player. So I can't help but think that the NBA said, you know what, this whole Air Jordan thing's catching on. Don't call traveling on this guy. Even though he's taken 8-9 dozen steps to jump at the top of the key and dunk the ball, it puts asses in the seats.
Politics, baby. Politics.
Exactly. It's putting asses in the seats. The revenue is up. Do not blow the whistle on this guy for traveling. Because if the NBA is not in business, you as a referee are not in business. So you know what? Don't call it. And now if you watch the NBA, these guys, I mean, if you were to watch an NBA game tonight versus watching an NBA game from 1965, you'd be scratching your head, because the way they call games is totally different. And I still say, it's because of Jordan. And now, had Lenny Bias lived, there would have been the same, symbiotic relationship that we've seen throughout, you know, where you have like a Kobe LeBron type thing. But with Lenny Bias dying, it left Jordan out there. Jordan, the whole NBA's future hinged on Jordan. And by Christ, he made it happen. He saved the NBA, and the NBA is still in existence because of Michael Jordan. But I'm here to tell you, if you watch him, he is the walkingest, double dribblingest thing you've ever seen.
I think the last pro basketball player that I saw that knew how to dribble a ball was Clyde Drexler. And that's
been a
minute.
The glide, yes, sir. He was a true ball player. but he didn't put asses in seats. Why? Because he was a fundamental ball player.
To the pay window, baby.
And so, you know, like I said, you know, it's the same thing. These guys running these universities, you cannot pay Krzyzewski. How much is Krzyzewski making Duke now? You know, umpteen million
millions
a year to coach basketball? Yeah.
Millions
yeah
a year.
You can't pay that guy without putting asses in seats. So, again, you know, unless you find a way to make that happen. So you've got this kid who's 6'10" and has the athleticism of any Olympic athlete you'd throw at him. Okay? And he scores a 22 on his history exam. I can't help but think somebody is going to tap somebody on the shoulder and walk up to that history professor and go say, hey, look, since you're paid by the university and the university pays you through asses in the seats, and this kid here in your class that put a 22 on your exam puts asses in the seats, he needs to pass so he can play ball, so he can pay your salary to pass to the little bastard. And you know what? It's done. Okay, ran over. I'm sorry. Like
here
I said,
comes
I
burn paper.
I'm going to give you a true story. There was a certain running back for a certain team that played in a certain Super Bowl. They did kind of shitting, got their asses whooped. But he was a run. Let me put it this way for NFL-wise. He was a running back for Ron Wolfe. He was a special ed guy in high school. And he got through college to get drafted before they shortened their years. There ain't no freaking way, because in high school they just unlock them from the cage to go out on the field.
Well,
just saying. And he's not the only one. And that's, look, and let's be clear, the athlete's not necessarily to blame. It's the way the system does things, just like you said, the ass is in the seat. We're going to do this to do that.
It's the administration. It's the business side of it.
I mean, at the end of the day, these athletes are kids. And they come from so many different varying backgrounds. If they have an opportunity, even if it's just to pull themselves out of poverty by playing at a collegiate level where they can get recognized on a professional level, like, you, can you blame these kids for saying,
I'm going to run all over this. I don't want to hear fucking kids. I don't. All right, and this is my Marine Corps background, because the military does not have a more diverse background of people that are coming in there and doing things. And
true,
we take the ASVAB, we figure out what's the qualified score to go ahead and do things, and every one of them are putting their damn asses on the line. But one thing they ain't is kids. So maybe one of the first things we got to start doing is quit calling friggin' adults kids. I will give a parent the right to refer to their adult grown kids, if you will, as kids, but they ain't friggin' kids. They ain't friggin' kids.
Nah.
Okay,
they're 18
and
years
I mean,
old
concede,
and they know what you're
would
doing.
Would you concede that because scientifically it's proven that your brain is not fully connected as a female till you're 25, 26, and as a male till 27.
There's that kind of stuff, but they ain't a friggin' kid.
But I use
they
the term
kid
in reference to their maturity and their development level. Like, they can't make rational decisions because they're not in a place where they understand the consequences, because their brains physically are not developed yet. That's the term kids that I mean.
If they don't comprehend that 18, you're eligible for the death sentence, then we friggin' failed in the earlier portions. If they don't know how to change a bloody tire, if they don't know how to balance a bloody checkbook,
I'm not saying that they don't. Right. I'm saying that they don't know these things. And sometimes, well, even though, like, imagine as a 16-year-old kid, you go speeding down the highway, you don't even have the rim of reference to think, oh, shit, there's a cop. But, like, as an adult,
please,
you
if you're that dumb, then I'm a big fan of Darwinism and let them frickin' be done.
It's a developmental stage. I don't mean to touch a nerve, but developmentally, you're not connected brain.
No, I get it.
You
have more tolerance than I do.
Yeah,
that's
so
fine.
I ain't got it. Explain to me why I was running a retail business at 20 years old as the store manager, and yet I've got guys at my store right now, formerly, that are 39 years old and have never been much more than a janitor. And not take anything away from the janitors of the world, but when you're 39 years old and that's all you've done, that could be an issue. Versus the guy who's been working his tail off and said, hey, all I want to do is scrub turtles. And he's doing that for a backup, so be it. But no, I am not. Hey, let me tell you something. These dinglings, they know damn full and well that they bombed these tests. They know damn full and well that they didn't study for the test. They know damn full and well that they didn't try like the valedictorian did. And they went in there and they just checked off whatever damn circles they could, knowing darn full and well that their ability to run the ball, dunk the ball, score the ball, or whatever the hell you want to do with a ball will get you by. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
That's not even what I'm talking about, actually.
No,
that's not even the argument that I'm trying to make.
I'm over results, not excuses.
You're doing what?
I am a results, not
this.
Excuses person.
But my point is they're trying to get their result the only way they can get at, like, even if their goal was to get out of poverty and they knew that playing on the basketball team would get them on a spotlight where they could pull themselves out of poverty, do you think they're going to say something if someone turns and looks the other way when it can get them out of poverty? Like, I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do, but you can't, like, you without being in those shoes, you can't honestly say this is the decision I would make, because these people come from a different background sometimes. I mean, there's a vast majority of people. Now, there are people who cheat the system because they can, but there are some people who cheat the system for a way out. That is their result. That's how they get out of the situation that they're in. And they go,
well, no, I'll agree with you.
I'll agree with you that you're going to do
what you got to do. And that's what I say about this early drafting stuff for these guys. Go to college for 1 year, and NFL or NBA comes up and says, hey, we're going to draft you out. Of course these guys are going to jump school because their mom lives in a single-wide Fleetwood, and all they can think about is getting them out of there. But, yeah, when it comes down to brass tacks, you know what you did. And I'm here to tell you, if you think I'm squeaky clean, you're talking to the wrong guy. I know the
you're
wrong
not,
I've
Dave?
Done.
Dave, you're
of course
not.
Not. You'd think I would because I have that squeaky clean image about myself. But nevertheless, I know what rules I've broken, and I know what I've gotten away with, and I know what I've gotten caught on. You know what I mean? And, hey, I don't know. The bottom line is it is one of those things where it's hard for me to believe that athlete did not know that some corners were cut. Okay? I'll put it to you this way. Let's say your dad is the coach of the ball team. And you suck. You can't hit the ball to save your life. You can't field. Every time somebody hits the ground ball to you, it pops you in the balls, and you fall over, and you grab your junk, and you scream, And you're, but yet come Saturday when the game starts, guess who's starting at second base? You are, the guy with the cap nuts who can't feel the ball and can't hit a ball. But you're starting at second base. Why? Because your old man's the coach. You can't go out there and tell me you don't know you're starting at second base because your old man's the coach, because you always take ground balls in the nuts. You know that going out.
Hi, Dave.
I'm sorry.
No, that's great.
There you
that's
go.
Great.
Again.
Dave, that was a gentler, despite getting hit in the yarbles, that was a gentler description than I would have used.
My apologies again. Sometimes
this
I get emotional on the show, guys.
No,
talking to Gal, getting busted in the balls. My bad. It was, my bad.
No.
Perhaps I was overtaken by emotion.
You know,
I don't think
real
I have
quick,
the right
one of the best
that.
Parts. One of the best parts is here we are. We have some. Honest, we are not all on the same stinking page with stuff. Clearly, it's not scripted. And that's good to go, because just for the record, it don't mean I'm being any, I love any of you less. It's just the way it is. So we disagree. Big friggin' deal. Because if we were all the same, we love the same food, we love the, you know, we had the same work schedule and all that, life would be freaking boring. Keep me on my toes, folks. Please keep me on my toes.
Okay.
The thing that I respect most is that you guys all who have varying opinions about certain things all teach me something that maybe I haven't seen, and I hope that I can teach you guys something that maybe you haven't thought of in return. Like, I don't like the whole concept that we are taught to listen when we talk. When we're taught to listen to someone, we're taught to listen for a way to make our point off of what they say versus constructively listening to what they're actually saying. And one of the things that I've been trying to really do better, because I know that's a flaw in myself, is sometimes I listen to argue back my point, but I've started, you know, here I say within the past 3 years or so, really actively trying to listen to the other person. And in doing so, I can hear your point, I can learn something from it, and it does help, you know, help me evaluate my decisions and how I feel about things. But I really feel like, you know, the differences that we all share, I think it's a growth thing. And I always love talking to people's different opinions. So for me, this is a great group
most
to do it in, because I know no matter what I say, you know, we may not align politically or emotionally or, you know, religiously or whatever the field may be, but we all still align because Pop Culture Stars is what brings us together, and we all love each other.
And that's why Liz is great, because I can talk about getting socked in the nuts with a baseball, and she will still take it like a champ. You know what I mean?
I don't know what that feels like. So, I mean, I still feel like that's an unfair advantage you guys have. I don't know what that feels like.
It's not comfortable.
I think advantage is the wrong word in that particular thing, but I get where you're going with that. And just for the record, Liz, check this out. We all had this conversation. We didn't all necessarily agree. Guess what? I am willing to bet there is nobody here that is butthurt. Just saying. Just saying.
You know why?
There's that word again.
Because we're over 25 and adult.
I'm just kidding. Oh, that's where we're going. I like what you did there.
I had to get the barb in.
I like what you did there. That's my girl.
Throw one and throw, okay?
And that's bringing Sparkle back to the game.
Stro doesn't have to agree with me at all. Absolutely. I understand the professionalism behind it and everything. And I understand you can't say but so much. But if you watch a wrestling match, okay, if you watch wrestling, and let's say you watch the luchador matches, okay, those guys are throwing each other all over the place. The amount of timing, the amount of athleticism that it takes to be a luchador is absolutely insane. okay? And if you don't believe
me,
watch Lucha. Watch Lucha Underground. Those guys are out of control when it comes down to their athleticism and their ability to wrestle, okay? Then you watch somebody like Hulk Hogan, who wrestles like a Cinderella. Okay, the guy 5 seconds off the mark, okay? He's always hosing things up. His ability to wrestle is not even there, okay? But in the meantime, what does he do versus your average luchador? He puts asses in seats. Why? Because he gets in there with the music, and he's ripping his shirt, and he's, all right, brother, let me tell you something, man. Next time you come up here, man, and you get run your mouth at will, I'm going to be over your face, brother. Hey, look, he puts asses in seats. Okay? Luchadors don't. Now, I say they don't. They do, but they don't at Hulk Hogan's volume. So, Hulk Hogan, when it comes down to pure wrestling ability, doesn't have the match of, say, a luchador. But on the flip side, when it comes down to paid attendance, he's wiping them out. So, of course, he's going to get all the sunshine. Because, why? Everybody on cue, one, two, three, he's putting asses in the
seat. Asses in the seat.
Well, that's why you have to have it. No. That's my turn.
Let's Stro talk.
All right.
All right, Stro.
All right. Now, that's a good point. But you got to have variety. You know what I mean? You got to have the workhorses. You got to have the people that will put butts in the seats. It's all got to tie in together. That's why you have this variety, because not every fan, not every person in this life or the next is going to be just want the same thing. You got to get a little bit of everything, and you can't have the one
Hulk
but
the
seats without you got to have like
match,
meat.
Bro. Come
meat
on, dude.
you can't have the ones that put the butt in seats without the workhorses. And vice versa. It's all going to tie in together. That's what makes a show. And that's why a lot of us that make the money, you know, we thank them for the house every night. And they, in turn, they thank us because, you know, we're the lead up to the main event. And vice versa. Like, I've been in main events before, and people have thanked me. And I've thanked everybody else in return because, we need each other. You know what I mean? It's variety. You know what I mean? And not everybody's going to be a Hulk Hogan fan. Not everybody's going to be a Luchador fan or Catch-as-Catch-Can or all the variety of plethora that we put into a show. But, I mean, wrestling is like life. And business and everything else. We got to appeal to a variety of people.
It's not about the amount of work you put in. It's your ability to put asses in seats. And you're a prime example, for crying out loud. I mean, you have worked your tail off, dude. But you're not sitting to the right-hand side of Vince McMahon right now either. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things.
I know Vince McMahon and his whole family, so thank you for asking. But back to my point. The point is, you got to have the variety, and not many people understand that or appreciate the fact that a lot of us, no matter where we're at in the game or we're at in the card or whatever, you know, we bring something a little new to the table. And so, you know, we need a little bit of a variety to make everything work, because, you know, the people that put the butts in the seats, they wouldn't have a show without the meat and potatoes, the body that makes that. So that's what I'm getting at.
That's true.
Yeah, but Hulk Hogan's got to know that he can't wrestle.
Hey, just for the record,
not everybody's a Hulk Hogan fan, but I'll tell you this. Hogan has done more for our business than most. And I'll just leave it at that.
I agree with you on that. Absolutely. I agree with you on that.
Let's throw that out there into the average workplace business, conventional business structure. We have those managers and leaders that are not necessarily the best. But hopefully all of us in all of our places and all of our spots, wherever we happen to freaking be in that business, we're developing our underlings. And that's part of what the undercard is, for lack of better description. And developing all that. And I get that maybe the the typing title may not be as much esteemed as the heavyweight title, that kind of thing, and that. But that doesn't matter. Just if you develop and actually create a quality, and here's the thing, Russell, if we create a quality different parts of our business, if we get a good packing depth and stuff like that, if we have a good women's division, if we have a good men's division, we start talking about our doggone super lightweights and all this kind of stuff, good boxing division. Yeah, let's be boxing. We haven't had good depth in boxing in forever. I don't know if boxing will ever come back. But, you know, there's depth on things in the cards, but it's up to us to develop our subordinates. You know what we learned from our superiors? We have a shit manager. We have a manager that we can be better than. I may not get that spot, but hopefully the guy I train will get that spot and be a better manager. We need to both learn the positive things from those people that are above us, and we also need to learn what not to do from the negative things. I mean, when it comes down to leadership, I can tell you, judgment, justice, dedication, initiative, accountability, tact, which I think is overrated, by the way. Initiative, enthusiasm, daring, enthusiasm.
Babe Ruth said, I would rather be the best garbage man in Brooklyn than the lousiest lawyer in Manhattan. And it makes all the sense in the world. I'd rather be the best at what I do than the most famous. You know what I mean? And, you know, I have a hard time believing that said athlete that's in this college is looking at their peers, and they know that they can't outperform their peers, but they're getting in that college. I'm sorry, they're just as guilty as the people bent in the rules. They're right there in it. So you know what? It's all the cross you got to bear when it all comes down to brass tacks. Own it. You can either up your game or admit the fact that there's other people that might be better. And I've said it about Tiger Woods. I'm not a Tiger Woods fan. But when every other golfer was tipping over his last beer at 2-3 in the morning, Tiger Woods was getting up and getting on the putting green with a flashlight. And that's why, up until his wife wrapped that 9-iron around his head, he was the greatest golfer in the damn planet. Why? Because he did what the rest of them didn't do. So
he put in the work.
Exactly.
It's just like a film.
There's my piece.
It's just like a film. I mean, you have a main star, you have the rest of the cast. And just because someone's going to be a main star of one film doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a main star of another film. It could be a supporting actor or a background,
correct.
A background or whatever. But I'm saying that you need everybody to make a film. You can't just have a main star. You got to have a story. You got to have the rest of the cast. You got everything to make things happen. So, I mean, that's
but
what good is the main star?
And
put it together.
Yeah, the crew and everything. Everybody is essential to make a great film, from behind the scenes, and on camera, what have you. And it's not
I
mean, the character of one film doesn't necessarily mean one of another film, because the stories change all the time. So, I mean, you got to keep the continuity. You got to keep everything's got to flow with everybody involved.
True.
I think, you know, this is what I think about how they need to handle the situation. I think the people who have taken the bribes to get into the colleges, I feel like I think they need to go back to college. I think they need to go and they need to earn their spot, and I don't think that they should have a valid diploma for that because you got it on somebody else's back. But at the same time, how would you compensate who should have been there? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, how are they going to go about compensating the waitlisters who didn't get the position unfairly?
No, you are absolutely right, Liz, when you say that. And I'm going to use this term, society's bitch. And when I say society's bitch, let's go to Barry Bonds. Let's go to anybody who was doping in Major League Baseball, okay? When I say the term society's bitch, what I mean by that is go ahead and put Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. Go ahead and do it, despite his obvious guilt with steroids. Put him in the Hall of Fame because the guy still hit 700-some-odd home runs. Put him in the Hall of Fame. But when I take my children and my grandchildren to Cooperstown and they say, hey, Pop, who's that guy? I say, that's Hank Aaron, the greatest home run hitter of all time. That guy hit for average. He stole bases. And he hit 755 home runs for the Atlanta, Milwaukee Braves, and the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's the greatest home run hitter of all time. And then we go by Barry Bonds. Hey, Pop, who's that guy? He's the guy who cheated to win. Let's move on to the next guy. Here's Harmon Killebrew. Here's Willie McCovey. Here, you know what I mean? And let him be society's bitch. Let me be the guy who casts the vote. And when I'm not buying his jersey, when I'm not buying his plaques, when I'm not buying his souvenirs in the pro shop, but I'm buying Hank Aaron stuff, then the proof of the pudding will be there. You know what I mean?
I think, unfortunately, diehard fans are going to support regardless of what the player in question has done or not done, which really sucks because it's almost glorifying those who break the rules because
you're right.
Our fandom can outsee what is morally correct. And I think that might be part of my problem. It's like, with this whole situation with the universities, all I can think of is, how is it that these people are going to come out unscathed and go, oh, well, it's already done now, I've already got my degree, and too bad for you. And all these people who worked harder to get there didn't get the opportunity. Like, how do you, I don't know how you can sit there and take that degree knowing, this is what I was trying, the point I was trying to make about the people trying to get out of poverty before. Just because it's the thing that they did doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And I don't necessarily agree that that should be something that, you know, you should be allowed to get away with. But it's like, how can you, number one, how are we going to put measures in place to avoid this? Because, you know, we live in a capitalist society where money makes more sense than anything else. But secondly, you know, how is it that we're going to be able to compensate those, like for scholarships, for example, people who get scholarships because they know people, and then you have someone who doesn't have an opportunity to go to college, like, what do you do? This person should rightfully have gotten that scholarship and could have gone to college, but they didn't because someone cheated the system. So now you're glorifying the cheater by not giving them punishment. And I don't want to say punishment because that's not the right word, but not taking care of the situation, so you're glorifying that person because, hell, I got mine, I'm going to keep going. And then the person who worked for it that didn't get it still gets screwed. So it's like they're doubly getting screwed.
Now, I agree with you on that, and I think what it is it becomes to a personal responsibility, and sooner or later that person has to own the fact that perhaps – you know, and again, it's one of those things where you don't feel it when you're in your 20s, but when you start hitting your 40s and 50s, you start kind of realizing that, hey, perhaps I didn't earn this. And that's going to be your cross to bear. And you've got two choices. You can either fake your way through it, or you can damn own it and come out and just, you know, acknowledge the fact that you did not do your part. And I think in the end, that the legit people, the honest people, have more respect for a guy who owns his mistake than a guy who denies his mistakes.
True. I can vouch for that.
Well, here's what I can tell you. If I always wanted to go to a top-notch college, and I busted my ass, and I got in, and I knew what I wanted to do, and I paid the price, and it was a price. I didn't get to go out with my friends like I wanted to in high school. And then when I wanted to go to graduate school, when I knew I wanted to go to Clemson University for graduate school because it was a great engineering school, I did everything I could. I contacted every important person that I knew to write me a good recommendation. I did the things that it took. And I think what all this boils down to is the people that want to be successful will find a way to be successful. And they will, okay, I can tell you this, not picking on him because he's my friend, but I'm picking on him because I've seen what he does. When Papa Stroh gets in there in that ring, I am thrilled because I know I'm going to be treated to some great wrestling. And I get excited when I see
him. Yep.
And I know, and he and I have talked tons of times about how hard he's worked and the people he's trained with. And I can tell you this much.
Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Tuesday night, by the way. Just saying.
Oh, well, no, I'm getting ready to give you the biggest
comment.
Compliment.
That I don't know Vince McMahon. I mean, give me a break. I've known him and his family for years.
Yeah.
I've got people I've trained that work for him right now as we speak. I talk to him all the time. I mean, we're just like the big dysfunctional family, but you know, we all know each other.
Yeah, you should have seen what the reaction was when I mentioned Papa Stroh, my buddy, to Ricky Steamboat and Arn Anderson. First thing they did was smile. How's he doing? Boy, they wouldn't do that if he wasn't at the top. If he wasn't at the top of the world when he was there working with them, and now, I mean, those guys respect Papa Stroh, and it just and that just got all over me. I said, you know what? That's what happens when you work hard and you're really good at what you do and you just keep trying and trying to get better. So, Papa Stroh, there's some kudos to you. Your
That's
peers.
Right. The respect pays more than anything.
Golly. It was like I didn't have to say anything but Stroh. Oh, yeah, how's he doing? And they just perked.
I get kids going to WrestleMania this year that are champions that have helped out. I mean, you've got the Revival. You got Sasha Banks, Bayley. AJ Styles, Bullet Club. I mean, I can go on and on, man. Bobby Roode, Canada.
I think it's absolutely truthful. I think you touched on it. It's not so much about where you are now, but I think everything that you, everybody that you've touched and affected, that is so much more your legacy than just you.
Right. The respect.
If that makes any sense.
I mean, it's all about giving back, keeping the cycle going, you know, and using your gifts to help others, you know, make their dreams come true. You know what I mean?
So there's two parts.
I told you before it was about your leadership. I told you before it's all about your leadership. That's huge. That's massive.
Yep. Work hard and then give back. Sounds like it's a good rule of success, Papa Stroh, and that's what you've done. That's why you're at the top. And we're proud to have you. And we got 4 minutes left. So I want to say
your leadership, your trickle down effect is different. Is absolutely the opposite of this college issue. Your leadership effect is just so positive, by all means.
Yep, it sure is.
Well, it's about working your way to your goals instead of having them bought.
Yep, it's what these kids
have
had.
It's about the teaching. It's about the lessons learned. It's about the...
Yep.
You know, fundamentals of leadership are all about that.
That is true. Well, We're about to quit in time tonight, and I want to thank the pop culture stars for being as entertaining and thought-provoking as ever. And as I learned from Papa Stroh, it's plug time. And I'm going to start out with, because Liz apparently had a signal problem. No problem at all. We love her to death, and we'll have her, she may be back with us. Liz is back
I
with
am.
Us. That's
can't
great.
Can't get rid of me.
No, that's good. So anyway, we're good. It's plugged.
We
in.
Love
plug
it. We can't get rid of you, hon.
That's
nope.
Right. So we're going to start with ladies first. Liz, what you got to plug?
You guys are amazing. I'm going to plug you guys this week. Why? Because I love you. Because you guys are awesome. You're educational. You're open-hearted, open-minded, and you're always supportive people no matter what. I love you guys, and this is, like, my favorite night of the week. I love talking to you guys, hanging out. So here's to you guys. Here's to the show. And even Papa Stroh. I'm just kidding.
We love all of you. We do.
Bitches.
Thank you, Liz. We love you, too.
And those that don't get right. It, that was extra love for Papa Stroh.
That's what it okay. Was. See, I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd get it.
Yeah. All right, Todd, what have you got to plug, Todd?
Y'all know I, my background, the Marine thing, the fundamentals of leadership, that kind of thing. Look, I'm going to back Stroh huge. Huge. Sometimes I think Papa Stroh don't know how much impact he's made on how many others. Dude, if you don't know, you're killing me. The thing is, people will show up at the funeral, and that'll mean a ton. The people will send those notes, those kind of things. We may not see it every day in life, but I guarantee you there will be a massive void. And that's those kind of things. So we try to do those things where we try to lead things right. Stroh leads it. And I got to throw out the whole pop culture stars, because we got up here, we had not a ton of agreement. But you know what? It's a whole team thing, and everybody, yeah, nobody but her. Kind of cool. So, Papa Stroh, total team. Love you. Mean it.
All right, Dave Atwell, what have you got to plug?
Hey, I'm just going to plug success. Plugging, what we've spoken about a million times over. I mean, Dr. John, you've always said all along, the thing you set out to do is to have a doctorate. You got it. Stroh wanted to be a wrestler. He's got it. I was a, Marine and served his country well. Liz, she's in the film industry doing what she loves. Me, I'm walking away from a 33-year career with a big-ass smile on my face. And looking forward to nothing but the future. Folks, keep your nose to the grindstone, good days and the bad days. And just keep getting it, because it's when you give up, it's when you quit believing, especially in yourself, that's when it all goes to pieces, and you're just going to be another one of those guys that's going to be a casualty. Follow it.
You got.
Dig in.
You got it. All right, buddy. Thank you. Papa Stroh, what have you got to plug?
Follow my official website for all the latest TV, wrestling, film, and merchandise. TheStroh.com. Click on the merchandise link for all the latest Papa Stroh merchandise. Facebook, Stroh the Maestro. Twitter, @SignTheStroh. Instagram, @StrohMaestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, @StrohMaestro. And I'm on Patreon at Patreon.com/Papa Stroh. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. Glad all of you are with us. I'll say goodbye for now. We'll see you next week on Pop Culture Stars. And tomorrow night, 11 p.m., we got Tammy Jackson of the She Squatchers. Me and Papa Stroh will be there, and have a great one. We'll see you. Bye-bye.